in my ears. This is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN. And the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. The only requirement is that whatever you want to call in about, let it be controversial and let it be true. We only deal in truth on this program. And the goal of this program is to expose corruption in any form, but mostly in the state of Nevada and in the city of Las Vegas, which is just a target-rich environment for anybody that's got guts enough to stand up and expose the lies and the distortions that our local and federal and state leaders leave with us. And the big problems, and that is rectifying the lies that cost the Nevada taxpayer all kinds of money. And they do it with the belief that local government and our leaders have a right to do whatever they feel is necessary. The Raiders Stadium project is a prime example of that. Voters were never given the opportunity to vote legally on whether or not they would like a stadium and of course the NFL team, the Raiders, to represent Las Vegas. I personally think it was a mistake, and a lot of my friends do, and a lot of the people that I talk to, the majority of the people that I talk to are against this. And of course our leaders in the state of Nevada found that they approved it, and that the general public or the property owners in Las Vegas and Clark County are going to be on the hook for about an increase in property taxes by a minimum of $450 a month. And or I should say $450 a year increase, and that doesn't even count the infrastructure for the stadium. It still hasn't started, and they're still kind of like haggling over who's going to get the biggest slice of the pie. But you can bet your boots that it's not going to be the general public. They're going to get the chef, folks, and we're going to be on the hook as taxpayers and property owners for about $750 million. And like I said, it's going to go up even from then. Estimates are it'll be probably about $1.4 million, or I should say $1.4 $750,000. Or take it back, $750 million, and then it's going to go up even more from that, another $1 million easy to satisfy that tax burden. And this is without our consent. This is without anybody saying anything. This is just our city leaders and county leaders and state leaders all felt that Las Vegas needed to burden the cost with $750 million right out of our tax treasury. But they're not really new to that. They've back in the year 2000, then Governor Gwynn and then Attorney General Brian Sandoval, now Governor Sandoval, concocted a scheme to defund SIIS, State Industrial Insurance System, the ones that basically administrate workman's compensation benefits and workers' disability benefits, and they oversaw that somehow or another. The governor and the attorney general arranged to have SIIS go unfunded and unsupported, and they in turn hired a private agency called ICON, Employees Insurance Company of Nevada, to administrate the workers' comp. Well, guess what? In order to do that, they had to, of course, put money into a trust, and that was almost $1 billion, $1 billion, and they accomplished that. The only problem is they didn't put that money into a trust. Somehow or another, Icahn schemed, and Governor Gwynne and Brian Sandoval, the Attorney General, schemed, and they put it into a private bank account for Icahn, who in turn invested that money into offshore accounts and other states' accounts and interests and projects. And it's up to about $2.2 billion that righteously belongs to the people of the state of Nevada. So you can all look this up very easily in the internet. Employees Insurance Company in Nevada, and David Otto, who was the deputy chief attorney general, filed a claim in 2006 against Governor Gwynne and Attorney General Brian Sandoval. And coincidentally, and that's a real interesting word I don't use very loosely. Coincidentally, Governor Gwynne fell off his roof and broke his neck, died, and the same year that former Deputy Chief Attorney General David Otto filed the claim in Washoe County District Court, 2006, alleging the corruption and the misappropriation funds from our leaders. Well, it's still on the books, folks. It's still there, and you can read all about it in the internet. Just type in Icahn. Icahn lawsuit complaint, David Otto Esquire, and he's the one that filed it. Well, we got a few callers on the line. We'll go to D in Nevada. D, what's on your mind?
Thank you for providing a forum for those of us who are personally experiencing injustice in the criminal justice system. And I just would first like to say my prayers are with you and your health, and just know that you are prayed for and you're in our thoughts, that your health will keep you going because you're providing a valuable asset to many of us who have no way to speak out, either financially or physically. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I would like to just update you on the court system in Nevada is very corrupted. And if a person is violated by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, which you know and you have very well evidenced that that occurs,
on a regular basis.
On a regular basis. And the person then has the court system for due process where a person should be made whole again if they were damaged by law enforcement. Well, here is what the court's mentality is. And I'd like to recite some statements in a letter that was generated to the Nevada Supreme Court then Chief Justice Hardesty. And this came from the Chief Justice in the 8th Judicial District Court, which you know to be Clark County, and your listenership will know to be Las Vegas. Here are some of his statements couched in a 7-page letter regarding survivors of domestic violence. And these statements you will probably find troubling. Because as a former law enforcement officer, you know that some of the most violent and dangerous events that you can walk into as a patrol officer are domestic violence events because you don't know what's going on. And you only have a phone call to rely upon. These are the thoughts of the chief judge. He says that when he gets documents in domestic violence court cases, they contain exaggerated statements. Well, how would he know that? He wasn't at the event. How would he be able to say that was an exaggerated statement? He goes on to say,
Is he part of an ex parte conversation with someone, or what?
This was in a written letter to the Nevada Supreme Court Chief Justice, Thomas Arthur Ritchie Jr. is laying out his thoughts when he hears domestic violence cases. So This is the mentality when a survivor of domestic violence walks into a courtroom to get a protection order, because I know women can be violent and men, the mothers can be violent and fathers can be violent. I'm not singling out any gender here.
Okay.
But the majority, I'm just looking at statistically, the majority of domestic violence is a father committing violence against the mother or the children.
Mm-hmm.
So if I, as a mother, walk into a court of law to get a protection order for me and my child, this is what Thomas Arthur Ritchie is thinking. He says, and this is a chief judge, he's the one who represents all judges in Clark County in the district court. He says the court does not go through each and every allegation. Well, that's troubling. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, wait a minute. Let's go back a second. He is saying that in a letter and a statement that the court does not go through each and every allegation?
That is correct.
Well, how does that work? What, you just pick and choose?
Well, I've got seven more statements. Why don't I go through them and then you tell me what you
think? Okay, well, go ahead. Rattle through them.
Okay, he goes on to say, even if the court decides to grant a protection order, each and every alleged act of domestic violence has not been proven. Arrests, this is very troubling, arrests are not made in a majority of cases. That's very troubling, because that means if I pick up the phone to call 911 because I've just been beaten by my husband, or my child has been beaten by my husband, my child's biological father, I can expect that her father will not be arrested. He goes
okay,
on
let
to
me,
say...
Let me stop you. Let me stop you there before you go any further.
Okay.
The person that is going to, allege that these acts occurred will be, of course, the responding police officer. Okay, so just automatically, by you calling the police department or calling any agency that would enforce domestic violence laws, doesn't necessarily mean that that person will be arrested. It's kind of a due process thing. So an officer has to go out there. He's got to see if there's any physical evidence that supports your allegation or the female's allegation, and then decides if it's strong enough in order to make an arrest. Now, do you think that's reasonable?
Well, that is not the point of this letter.
Okay.
The point of this letter is that the majority of 911 calls will not result in an arrest. So that would deter someone who has just been battered.
Right.
Who's in a domestic
figuring it's not going to make any difference, right? So why call? You're saying that statement reflects.
So what I'm saying is, yes, there's two sides to every story. However, however, if there is overwhelming evidence that someone was battered,
of course,
there's still, in the majority of cases, there still will not be an arrest made. That's the point.
Let me stop you there, because I was in this system, and I made those kind of arrests. And I tell you, the procedure and the policy, at least by my former LVMPD police department, was that if there was overwhelming evidence that exists, that if the officer did not arrest, then he would be in trouble. He would have to explain himself why he did not arrest. So in reality, that sends a different message. That sends a message that your statistic about the majority of domestic violence, let's say calls, do not result in arrest is, it, from my standpoint and my viewpoint, is inaccurate. I don't know if that judge meant that cases that were substantiated and that they had that overwhelming evidence that overwhelming evidence.
Let's look at the statistics.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Nevada has been the number one state out of all of the United States as the most domestically violent state in the nation. And they
I would kind of agree with that, yeah, okay.
And they held that statistic for, I'm going to say several years, up until 2014 when they dropped down to number three. But they haven't gained any more statistics for 2015 and 2016. But the statistics are showing that this mentality is why we are number one for domestic violence in the state of Nevada. And I'm really not even arguing domestic violence. This could be any type of a court case, but this is a chief judge who is putting his thoughts down on paper, and it's alarming. It's reprehensible. It says that if you are a survivor of a crime, and in this case the crime is battery, then don't pick up your phone because an arrest isn't going to be made, because the mentality in the state of Nevada is you're exaggerating. You're making exaggerated statements. We're not going to look at each and every allegation. Let me go on and tell you what else he said. It is common for litigants to file for protection orders over and over as a ploy. He sees this as a ploy. What if your child is beaten over and over again? It's a ploy? No, it's not. The judge goes on to say, exhibits to the court as part of protection order proceedings have no probative value as to whether or not domestic violence occurred. And probative means, did it evidence that domestic violence occurred? And he says the evidence, the exhibits, do not evidence domestic violence occurred. He goes on to say, evidence is filed for harassment value or to solely the name and character of a party. So if a picture is taken of a battered baby, that is for harassment or to solely the name of the father. Also troubling is that he says that exhibits reference third parties. Third parties are witnesses that were at the crime scene. He says that he thinks that these exhibits of witness statements at the crime scene are not to be included. He doesn't want them included in the case file.
Why not?
He then goes, well, you'd have to ask him. He goes on to say, even if the court...
seems like somebody's on drugs. Where do they come up with that?
This is alarming. This is why we're number one for domestic violence in the United States. Even if the court decides, he goes on, to grant a protection order, each and every alleged act of domestic violence has not been proven. So what he's saying is if you, as a survivor of domestic violence, are granted a protection order, it doesn't mean that you were that you are a survivor of domestic violence, then what is the purpose of being a judge? He goes on. He says the domestic violence files are not published electronically, and I have at least three more statements. Let me go through them real quickly.
Okay, we got to go to commercial. I'll stay on the line. I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat. Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, this is Gordon Martinez. The name of the show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by RBN. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, and we were talking with Dee from Nevada. And Dee, we just got a couple more minutes. Can you go through those last three statements so we can kind of like get the drift of what's going on here?
Yes, I will be brief. The last statement, domestic violence files are not published electronically, means that a person actually has, if they're vetting out a history of someone with a domestic violence, whether they're hiring to go into law enforcement or hiring someone to go into the court system, or any employer who wants to know if there is a domestically violent history of a person, a candidate that they're looking at, they have to physically go down to the courthouse where they believe the domestic violence may have occurred and look at the files. So domestic violence is very well hidden in the state of Nevada because you're not going to find human resources personnel going into a courthouse just to find out if someone may or a candidate may or may not be domestically violent. The judge went on to say the mere existence of filing for a protection order wrongfully ruins the reputation of the adverse party. Also, factually accurate and inaccurate information is contained in protection order filings. Well, this is alarming because a protection order doesn't state what the judge believed and what the judge didn't believe. So if you have to go back into a court of law, if your child has been beaten by the child's father mm-hmm. or parent, then you don't know what's in the judge's head, because you don't know what the judge has determined to be accurate and inaccurate. And finally, this chief judge says not every domestic violence case is filed in good faith, and that may very well be. It may be that there are persons out there that use the system to benefit themselves. But if I'm going into a court of law, the court of law is to err on the side of caution. And that is not happening. And that is why we are the most domestically violent state in the nation for many years.
You brought us some very interesting points. And what's troubling to me is that judges are actually giving their opinion or decisions prior to anything coming their way that is even remotely resembling what these statements are indicating. And that, to me, I see, is very troubling.
That is
because
correct, Gordon.
A judge, it is, in my opinion anyway, a judge is supposed to be impartial. And based on the evidence that is gathered for the court in order to verify whether it's accurate or not, you shouldn't have like a preconceived opinion if anything even approaches those statements that you just covered. And as a law enforcement officer, what I have seen is that during the time that arrest is made, and it's I think it's got to be within 24 hours or something like that, I can't even remember, or 12 hours, the arrest can't be made, and then a review of the circumstances of that domestic violence call has to be done in order for a later arrest to occur. And by that time, and which I have seen personally, is that the victims and then the suspects and everyone else, the story changes. And you were inaccurate when you said there's always two sides to every story. Actually, there's three. There's your side, the defendant's side, and the truth. And in my experience, very rarely do we ever get to the truth, at least in my endeavor. Anyway, Dee, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your efforts to keep us all informed. This is a very important issue. Domestic violence is extremely important, and it should be handled like every other crime, and it isn't. And you're right. There are prejudices that and biases that arise when an arrest like this is made and when protection orders are filed and allegations other than domestic violence. Hell, what you're talking about is when a child is being battered, you're talking about a battery against a minor child. That's a different, whole different ballgame. Anyway, thanks again, Dee, and please call in next week.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. Nutramedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Okay, folks, this is Gordon Martinez. I'm back. Name of the show is American Honor. And this show is all about exposing corruption and attempting to set things straight, set things right. You know, I've got a lot of information to relate to you, so at times I'm just going to give it to you kind of like piecemeal and just let your imagination run wild, like the complicit murder, decapitation murder of Corrections Officer Kevin Scott Daly of the LVMPD. Well, that occurred in November of 2006, correction, 2007, and it's never been solved. It's never even been investigated. It's never even been classified. But essentially, this corrections officer didn't show up for work one day, and later on, 3 weeks later, they find his personal vehicle burned out. And then another week later, after a volunteer search party was formed, his severed head was found laying out on top of the desert near Lake Mead, Las Vegas' usual mob body dumping ground. And no one's ever been investigated. No one's ever been charged. No one's ever been suspected. it's just one of those kind of things that the LVMPD, the Anderson PD, and the Clark County Coroner's Office are all in collusion to make it go away. Well, folks, it ain't go away as long as I'm vertical and above ground. Okay, lots of other stuff going on. That was probably one of the most egregious things that I became aware of, and I only became aware of that in 2013 when, during legal depositions, a witness brought it up. So that's what we're dealing with, the kind of organization that we're dealing with, and it isn't been rectified yet. Well, maybe there's going to be a chance for it to be rectified, and it will be rectified by me, maybe next year. So, with that being said, we've got my friend Doug Fantasi, who is on the line, and he is a former BATF agent who I met numerous years ago, and I've had several cases that him and I worked together, and he's going to kind of give you a little inside track on one or two of our cases that we worked together, and it shows you how officers like Doug and I and several others have to work around our organizations that's allegedly supposed to support us, and we still we're successful even having those kind of barriers in the way. Doug, are you there?
I'm there. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you? How you doing?
Hey, you know, it's about month 8 or 9 of retirement. I'm still getting used to it.
Okay, well, it does. It takes a little getting used to, and then you're going to know what? You're going to love it. You're going to love it because nobody can tell you what to say, what to do, or try to color things up and make the other person look righteous, even though it's all based on a lie. So what do you want to talk about today?
You know, remember that first case that we ever worked on? You remember that one?
Yeah, oh, yeah. What was his first? I forgot his first name, but his last name was Tweedy.
Greg Tweedy, that's correct.
What was his first name, Tweedy. Rick?
Greg.
Oh, okay. Greg, that's right, okay. Oh, yeah, and, very troubled individual.
Yeah, he was. He was. I think it, what was it, the morning? It was in October of 2000, mm-hmm. and I'm the duty agent now, and I've just gotten out of the academy. And there's a call that goes off, and it says there's a bombing. And I forget where the address was. Maybe we shouldn't mention it.
It was on a residential street in North Las Vegas area.
And so I wind up going out there, and the police are there, and the fire department's bomb squad is there, and I'm the only one from my agency, and I'm looking around, and you know,
yeah, I remember.
Oh, my God, I was like a deer in the headlights. Remember when you're in the academy, and they'll tell you, you know, you could be right out of the academy, and X could happen to you. And this was right out of the academy after post-blast investigation school, and here I am, and I show up on the scene. And I'm like, well, I'll just fall in behind the senior guys, and nobody will see me, and I'll, of course, be a good Indian, not a chief. And I remember sitting there going, I remember the rest of the guys finally from my office show up, and you remember the lieutenant that you used to work for, Alan Shaw.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yes.
And he looks at us and just goes, look, you guys are the expert. It's all yours.
that's right.
And we're looking, and we're like, oh, okay. All right, so, okay, guys. And, you know, we start putting the fire, the bomb squad guys in position. You know, you get the uniform guys, okay, let's do a sweep. And you're doing all this stuff. And I mean, I tell you what, that case, it had more twists and turns. And like you said, there were obstacles that had to be overcome by within my agency. I think you had some with your department. And it was
oh, yeah, I got supervisors that don't even want to consider the fact that when we did the served the search warrant on Tweedy's place, there was weapons and dope and stuff in his safe, and he didn't want to consider it as even a viable charge.
Yeah, I remember that, but that came later. And you remember when we're on the scene and we're trying to do this, the young lady, her name was Ramey, she was injured in the blast, and it was only because it was a pipe bomb that was used, everybody. And what happens with pipe bombs is a tendency, if you don't put it a certain way, the pressure builds up like a balloon when you blow it up too much and then it blows up. Well, the end caps gave way. So all the energy went out the sides. It didn't come like a, you know, in front of her. And the device had galvanized roofing nails. It was in a jewelry box. It had galvanized roofing nails. And then there was this real odor that nobody knew what that was initially. And she was lucky because I think she got something in her fingers because she touched the box. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to something you don't recognize and it feels like in a movie, if you're watching it, you'd be yelling at the screen going, don't touch that. And you know, don't touch it. And she touched it anyway, and it detonated. And I remember that we were looking for debris, and you guys were trying to get in the house where she was living with the boyfriend to get pieces of the evidence, and the boyfriend wouldn't give you access. And I forget your partner at the time, and you guys had to go get a search warrant to go into the house
right.
to go find the stuff. Because the guy, it turned out the guy had marijuana. He used to smoke marijuana with the girl, and they had some paraphernalia upstairs. And you're like, Jesus, why would we ever... So, you know, I remember we get into this thing, and next thing I know, one of my senior agents goes, it's yours. I'm going, holy Christmas! And he's like, it'll be a good learning experience for you.
Oh, yeah.
It was right. But not at that time. I wasn't interested in that. And you remember, you and I first started working together, and I said something stupid about some piece of food that had left like a cruller that looked like a mummy by the time I opened it, I looked, and you're sitting on the couch snickering. And I think it was from then on, you and I were going to be working together for a lot of stuff. And I remember starting that, and you and I wound up, I think you were the one on the PD side, and then I got it from my agency, and then we just started working, and then like after the first, you know, 6-7 hours, everybody walks away. And they're like, well, I'm going to go home now and have dinner. Take care. You're like, wait a minute. I'm stuck with all this stuff. Yeah, give me a call if you need me. Not really. And, you know, it started progressing. It was just you and I working this thing.
Everybody else kind of faded away.
Oh, that would require all the sexy stuff was gone. You know, all that initial things. And then everybody wanted to go back to their lives. And it was just
All the glory stuff was pretty well diminished. Nuts and bolts.
Yeah, it was the nuts and bolts of the stuff that, you know, when you see these on crime TV or true crime or whatever, and there's a detective and he's trying to work through this thing, and you know, they gloss over all the hardships that you have. And I remember they didn't want you to work on it. And I was like, I need help. Nobody in my office wanted to work on it. I'm like, okay. And I had to go through, and I don't think your lab was doing too good a job at that time. And we decided, well, we'll put this in and we'll ship it off to my lab. And I didn't realize that my lab would only be marginally better than your lab. And
well, you see, my lab was politically motivated and still is. Okay, if they want you, well, then the lab will cooperate and help you. If the department or anybody else in the community doesn't want you politically, want to get you in trouble, well, then you don't have to worry. The incompetence of the lab will... pretty much take over from there, and things will work out.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, you came up. We decided to go into. You were still running the investigation at that point. I didn't get it until a little bit later because you guys executed the search warrant at Tweedy's house.
Right. And that's where the SWAT team damn near tore off the whole front of the house. Go ahead.
Well, anybody out there that decides it's a really good idea to put gates on the front of the door of their house to prevent entry into the house and on the windows too, please don't do anything inappropriate, because if somebody like Detective Martinez is there, it'll be a SWAT team. They'll have one of those trucks that's armor plated and it'll pull the front door off and everything will be, and so you have only yourself to blame. Don't go with that. Go with an ADT alarm system and a camera. You'll be a lot better off. There'll be a lot less messy. But,
right.
You guys went in there and you're pulling stuff out, and you, you know, you're looking and looking. And I think that you found some drugs, right? Some meth with a Glock handgun. I think it was like a 17.
Right on the headboard of his bed.
Oh, is that where it was? I thought it was together in the safe. I know you found the safe with meth in it.
Found the safe with the dope, with the marijuana, but the meth. Well, you know, you have to have quick access when you need it. You know,
that's true. As you know from camping. Well, like living in a motorhome. Yeah. If you want to keep the door open, you better put something under the pillow. That was a, you know, and I remember you got carted off. And didn't he take some kind of felony on that with the drugs and the gun?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he got a one that's not to be introduced into interstate commerce and all that other stuff. You know, he took a deal on that.
Because, you know, the Clark County District Attorney's Office, they never met a case they couldn't plea out in 5 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah.
Less than whatever the initial charge was. I, it was they, It was flabbergasted.
They've had a lot of experience at that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I used to see some of these cases. If you fill out a report, but you did it in blue ink, and they wanted black ink, and they couldn't find you at 5:22 in the afternoon, they would dump the case, or they'd plea it out to littering or something like that. Meanwhile, it was like an armed robbery. You're like, oh, how the hell is this?
It was unbelievable. Or, any way even close to, well, I don't know if I really feel good about charging this guy with murder. Why don't we look at other options?
But there was one that you and I went into with the guy had 5 felonies, and you had him cold, and I said, let's take a federal. We can get more time. Well, I can get between, like, 2 and 20. I'm like, I can get you 15 before I leave this doorway. But no, when they thought they could get it, then they didn't do anything up. But I remember carrying all the evidence back, and I almost get knocked out by the odor, and I couldn't figure out what that was. I think we had taken samples. You guys had taken a vise and a pipe wrench, and we found some other things like powder and you connect the dots. And so Rainey was originally the girlfriend of Greg Tweedy, and then she decided that she wanted to go out with his childhood friend, David, and so she kind of just like on a switch, she just started living with him, and then Tweedy runs this down.
And this is after the wedding dinner at Tweedy's parents' house.
Oh, was that one? I didn't really remember that.
And then
that
she
one.
Decides, yeah. That she wants to go out with the best man, Tweedy's friend. Wasn't that just wonderful?
You couldn't plan it any better. And then,
that's the result of doing meth. I mean, you got a personality change and a personality disorder now that, it's unbelievable. Can you imagine? You've already gone to the parents. You've gotten the wedding dinner. That's all been done. And now all you're ready to do is just a step into down the aisle. And all of a sudden it kind of changes drastically.
Yes. Yes. Because my sister
Good
did something
God.
Like that many, many years ago. And
you know what compounds it? What compounds it is that our supervision, who is, overall in charge of these type of investigations, not with details, but with assigning personnel and allocating resources and that type of stuff, they just wanted this thing to go away. They didn't care if anybody was arrested or not. Because it was so convoluted, it had changed so much. I mean, the overall deal is Tweedy was did not go very well for Tweedy, his fiance dumping him at the last moment and going to live with a boyfriend. Okay, well, he goes and fixes up a device, a bomb as you would call it, and puts it in a jewelry box and sets it up in front of. His ex-girlfriend's or his ex-fiancée's place and her boyfriend's place. And then he drives away on his motorcycle. So,
it's good.
And then, of course, some people may say, well, that's totally justified. I mean, she broke his heart, And Tweedy was no catch, especially physically. Hell, it looks like his face caught fire and they put it out with a track shoe. He was an ugly guy, man. And then, since you were the guy that was handling the bomb evidence, the jewelry box and the pieces and the parts and the pipe bomb and the nails and everything else, you had the closest relationship with that evidence other than your lab. And that lasted for a year, at least. At least. And then, all of a sudden, Tweedy drives up, while we're at his house, and he had that smell on his motorcycle gloves.
That's now, what it was. I remember we got the evidence back. I had it at my desk, and then you called me and said, we didn't get everything. And I said, what are you talking about? And we got to go back to those gloves because he probably held them in his hand. And I went, oh, yeah. So then I had to go over to the U.S. Attorney's office and get a prosecutor to help me with a search warrant. And she started giving me grief about it. I said, look, well, we collected, we did this, we did that, but I had to make a case for this. And she goes, oh, okay. So she gives me, and that's when I think, yeah, that's when we went back and got the gloves. And then
we went back and got the gloves, and then he drove up on his motorcycle, and you said, Gordon, I can smell that smell from that jewelry box on his gloves. And I said, I says, are you sure? And he goes, hell, I've been smelling that smell for about a year. And he's got it on his gloves. I says, well, we're going to get the gloves.
Yeah. It took so long. They called me after a year and they said, hey, listen, we just opened up this evidence. What do you want us to do with it? I said, I want you to test it. That's what I want you to do. That's why I sent it to you. And they're like, okay. And then it sat some more. And
what did they think? It was just for looks? Did the lab think it was just for looks? That we were just going to send this in, ask you to test it, and it's just to make it look good?
Yeah, I think so.
Stay on the line, Doug. I'll be right back with you.
All right.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday's passing by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working for a living.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
This is Gordon Martinez. The show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by RBN. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that my audience understood what this session was about. And this was to tell the public about the behind-the-scenes activities that their elected officials are allowing to happen during major investigations. Now, this is not a unique case. This is not. It's a very complicated case that we were talking about with Greg Tweedy, but it is not a unique case. And real investigations are just. It just seems like it's just fraught with corruption, with political favors and decisions, and this shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. It should be law and order, justice, period, honor, and trustworthiness, but it isn't. And that is the frustrating part with senior investigators. That is what they have to contend with from the powers to be and the bosses. Well, what overcame this was dedication and loyalty to the community and to the virtues of justice and truth and the value of a single human being. And that's why basically I wanted this session. I wanted to talk about some investigations, and then we'll have others, because there was an investigation that occurred that did not have political influence by the powers to be, by the bosses. So anyway, Doug, thank you for calling in. And I really appreciate your input. And hopefully, maybe next week, you can set aside some time. And we'll go into another one of these cases that I think the public might appreciate. So, okay. What do you say?
No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, Doug. Okay, so that was the reason for talking about real-life investigations. Give us the insight on federal policies and the boss's intervention in the way cases should be investigated. I'm not saying that everything that a regular investigator gets involved in is totally righteous. I'm saying most of it is, but most of it is also politically influenced. And that's what I'm trying to bring out in my show, is that everything you see doesn't isn't exactly the way it should work out. I saw a program on TV last night. It was about TWA Flight 800, and that it is still up in the air. And there's overwhelming evidence from 30 plus witnesses that a missile struck that airliner, and the. U.S. Navy may be complicit in this cover-up, and that they may have mistakenly shot it down. But they can't handle the political pressure, and so they're going to stay maintain the cover-up of that it was an internal explosion that blew the plane apart. Something that has to do with the fuel. But and again, if you whatever you want to tend to want to believe. Airplane fuel did not bring down the Twin Towers. So, again, don't believe everything you see or everything you hear. Do your own research. Find out. Dig. And when you find out that there's 30 or 40 sources that say, different sources that say that this, this, and this happened rather than the official version, for which that isn't even complete. The official version of 9/11 doesn't even mention building number 7. And then most of you ask, well, what's building number 7 have to do with anything? Well, folks, that building fell down right on its foundation, too. It's a 47-story building. And nobody was killed in that one, though. Somehow or another, I guess it was empty. And that just collapsed, too, just like building number 1, number 2 did. So, you know, there's a visual example of 9/11 right in front of a fire station right on Las Vegas Boulevard in Russell. If you ever want to go over there, take a look at it. It's a piece of the one of the girders that's displayed there in a big block of cement and brick. And one end of that girder is a perfect example of what happens when you apply an explosive device to metal. And it's kind of jagged. So if you get a chance, take a look. Anyway, we're coming close to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and tune in next Saturday, 4 o'clock. This is Gord Martinez saying be safe.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.